Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage! Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Throwing it down. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun as we run the gauntlet here this evening. NBA, NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, Stanley Cup Finals, UFC, NASCAR, and everything else in between. The Freak Show has begun. As the Freak Show begins, the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat series gets extended. A 121-108 victory for the Boston Celtics this evening, as Boston were the ones that rallied back from a double-digit deficit. And when it's all said and done, Jason Tatum and company roll on and live to play another day. We break it down. Steve Merrill steps up and in. We run the gauntlet with SteveProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk TV in the house. And Merrill's been all over the NBA playoffs like a fat kid on a bag of M&Ms over the last month and a half. So we're breaking it down with Merrill. Tony Finn steps up and in, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, repping. As we'll talk basketball, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers up 3-1. But the Denver Nuggets have been in this position before, and we just saw the Boston Celtics extend the series. We'll get into this basketball game, but a basketball game that I feel that the Denver Nuggets can win outright. They were in it the other night, and they really didn't get much for Nikolai Jokic, and they were still in this thing, all right? So we're going to break it down with Steve Merrill, Tony Finn. We'll get you the updated numbers as the money continues to come in, actually, on the Denver Nuggets. And it's surprising, the series price. You'd think that, you know, hey, listen, you're losing to the Lakers. You're down 3-1 to the Los Angeles Lakers. You better be getting, what, 25, 30-1, 40-1? What are you going to be getting paid? You're not getting paid what you think you're going to be getting paid, which tells me that the books think that the Denver Nuggets are still in this thing. SEC kickoff, let's do it. NFL football, let's do it. We got ACC football, let's do it. It's Football Friday. I've already got 7 college football games circled, and you know we're going to end up with more before it's all said and done. The Friday Night Freak Show has begun. Let's do this thing, West Coast style. Tony Finn, Las Vegas. Steve Merrill steps up and in. You can too. Sports Rage Late Night. Vent or Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football. Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Sports Rage late night. I am Gabe Morenci. Let the free show begin. Steve Merrill will step up and in a couple of moments. Tony Finn from Las Vegas a little bit later on. A lot of stuff to get to. We pick up the pieces. Boston lives to play another day. They get it done. The game goes way over the number. And, you know, it looked as if though Miami was in control of this basketball game and that Boston was ready to tap out. But props to the Celtics. They dug down deep. They live to play again. And they're laying 3.5 points. The spread is already out. They are once again 3.5 point favorites. We got line movement, Denver and Los Angeles. And people are really buying into this Denver Nugget thing because the point spread is down to 5 right now. The Denver Nuggets are getting 5. The total is 214. We'll get into the series price. Let's bring in Steve Merrill right now, ProSportsInfo.com, Wager Talk TV. Merrill in the house. What's going on, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So let's rock while you're doing well. Well, yeah, Boston tonight.
No, I had Boston the last game. This is the first time I didn't use them in the series, of course. So not a surprise they came from behind. Hey, I'll tell you what, though, Gabe. If you told me it was going to be 58-51 Miami at halftime, I would have loaded up on the Heat. So at least I didn't have to sweat that one because it's very interesting, actually. We talked about this with Teddy and Tony, who you'll have on later on NBA Tip-Off today on Wager Talk TV. And I mentioned that the full game line was 3, yet the first half line was Boston minus 2.5, almost the exact same as the full game. And Teddy said that's because, you know, teams that have the ball, their backs against the wall, for years, teams that were down 0-2 is a very strong first half play, et cetera. But the game played out exact opposite of that, you know, with Boston waiting until the third and fourth quarter to turn it on. So kind of interesting how that played out.
Yeah, you know, I thought Boston were done, too. I was on Miami in the game. I had the over as well, and I went 2-0 with the props. I ended up going 3-1 in a game when it was all said and done. But, you know, when Miami were up and they weren't up by that much and it just felt like they were in complete control and this series is over. And I actually contemplated pulling the trigger on Miami again. I thought, you know,
yeah,
I was like, man, this game's done. You know, and right. It was right around before the half, as you stated, I was like, this game's done. You could just see, you know, Boston's body language isn't good. And I didn't. And it's a good thing I didn't because, you know, then Boston goes, you know, catches fire after. I guess we should never doubt any of these teams, though, Steve, you know, that have gotten this far. You've got to give them credit, right? I mean, we live in a social media age where a bunch of, you know, for lack of a better, you know, term, dickwads, you know, live in their basement and everybody sucks. Everybody's a joke. Aha, this team, whatever, and that team. It's not easy to make it to the Final Four of the NBA. You know, you make it this far, you know, as an athlete, you're going to have resilience, right? No one's going to roll over.
Yeah, and the thing that I like to look at here, a couple things. First of all, Gordon, there's a lot of question marks coming into Game 5 tonight. You know, we talked about Game 4, they're getting Gordon Hayward back, and that's one of the reasons I liked them the other night, even though it didn't work out. Hayward played 30 minutes tonight, had only 10 points, but no other backup played more than 10 minutes tonight for the Celtics. So they really went with the six-man lineup. And also, you look at the Heat. You know, Hero had 37 points in Game 4. His over-under went from 12.5 points to 14.5 points tonight. Now, that's only a 2-point increase. But as you know, for one game to the next, to go from 12.5 to 14.5, is what, like, oh, you
Steve,
know, 5-8% increase.
FanDuel, that's pretty big. It was 17.5. It was 17.5 at FanDuel.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah, we did the show live at 3 Eastern today, and it was 14.5. So that's crazy. By the way, he landed on 14, right between 12.5 and 14.5 from the two games. But the big one for me, though, Gabe, was Bam Adebayo. He, you know, he hurt his wrist in the last game. He was listed as probable. He played 38 minutes, but he only had 13 points. He was 5 for 11, 3 for 4 from free throw range. So, I mean, it doesn't look like the wrist hurt him, but minus 15 plus minus. It was the worst on the court for either team tonight. That was kind of the difference.
Yeah, you know, you're right. He's not 100%. He's been great. And I was smart enough to stay away from his prop tonight. I've been riding his props, but I stayed away. And, you know, it's funny because I talked about the hero prop too. Yeah, it was 17.5 before tip-off. And I brought up, I said, you know, even Anthony Davis, you saw AD hit the big shot a couple of games ago, and he didn't play well the next night, right? And that's Anthony Davis even. Like, only star players are going to go off repeatedly, Steve. You know what I mean? Only, like, a star guy is going to score, like, you know, every game like that. And Tyler Herro's not a star yet. You know, he's still a young kid. So I expected him to not have a massive game. He ends up staying under whatever number you ended up getting it at. Yet I'm a little frustrated. I didn't pull the trigger on it. I'm not a big under prop guy. I seem to lose when I bet unders more so than when I bet overs. I took Goran Dragic over 18.5 points. And now, so what, Steve? We played 5 games in the series. Dragic has gone over his point total in 4 of the 5 games. There was one game in which he struggled. But other than that, he's gone over. He's been a nice prop player. Jason Tatum as well. It's very bumpy with him, in which he'll go scoreless in the first half, or, you know, he won't shoot, and then he'll go off after, or he'll start off hot and he'll disappear. So he sort of scores in bunches, but he's been pretty consistently going over his number as well. His number was 26.5 tonight. He got there barely, but it got there, and then he didn't score much after, but he did get there. He's been another nice prop player in this series, Steve.
Yeah, you know, the one I was looking at, I actually mentioned on the show today, you could get Tatum double-doubled, like even money. He got there with 10 rebounds tonight. Bam's over a double-double is minus 200, even minus 210 on the yes. And I said, if he's not fully healthy, take a shot at the plus 160. And guess what? He only had 8 rebounds tonight. He did not get there. So that had a nice plus 160 payoff on Bam not having a double-double. And just to
it's
go back
pain
to
in
Tyler
the ass
Herro.
His last name, huh? Let's just be real.
Adebayo. I mean, I always butcher it. But by the way, Gabe, I brought this up on the show
8 times this week. All right. Like, I really sort of slow down and do it. All right. Adebayo. You know what I mean? Adebayo. Like, Adebayo. I'm okay. But, like, when you talk fast
exactly.
And Bam Adebayo, you're in a problem. Like, yeah. Just call him Bam. Everyone messes it up.
Yeah, every time I see it, like, I'm looking at the box score here, and it's like, it doesn't look tough, and then I butcher it, Adebayo. But you're right. If you take a half a second pause, I love Herro, though. I mean, it's got the extra R, but it's basically Herro.
Yeah.
But keep in mind, the guy doesn't even start. He only played 29 minutes. So to put up 37 points the other night's insane. And then on top of that, you know they're going to make adjustments and not allow him to beat them again. So that's what you look for. Like you said, guys like LeBron, Anthony Davis, they're going to always get close to that 27-28 prop every game. And that's exactly what happened, by the way, last night, or on Thursday night, rather. You know, they both came within a point or two, as always.
You know what, Steve? And, you know, this is what makes the Miami Heat so dangerous to me and why I was thinking they were going to win earlier. And I did take them, but I'm sorry, even in-game, I was comfortable with it. Because tonight it was Duncan Robinson, right? You know, I don't know. He had like 13, 14, 15, whatever the hell it was. And I'm like, man.
20.
Like, man,
no,
the
20.
Other, the other
20.
Night it was Herro. So 20 in the first half. So I'm like, the other night it was Herro. Now it's this kid tonight. You know, that's dangerous, right? When it's different guys that step up, that's a sign of a good team. So I was like, man, these guys now tonight, it's Robinson, but he got cold. He got cold as the game went on. Listen, we got to give credit to Boston. They dug down deep. It's 3.5 once again, Steve. They're playing on Sunday night.
Yeah, and who's one guy we've yet to mention this entire time? Jimmy Butler, technically the best player on the Heat. Isn't that something? I mean, so they're a very deep team. They're a dangerous team. By the way, they're going to be good for years to come. Herro, Adebayo, Kentucky Wildcats, Rondo,
yep.
Anthony Davis on the Lakers, Kentucky Wildcats, Jamal Murray on the Nuggets, a Kentucky Wildcat. Is it insane? I mean, Kentucky has just put so many of these one-and-done guys, and they're in the Final Four basically here. Jason Tatum's the only Duke guy, and that's Boston, and he's really the only Duke guy that's been decent in recent years. So just kind of a side note, it doesn't have much to do with anything. I just thought that's amazing how many Kentucky Wildcats are in the mix.
Well, you know what's crazy, actually, is so, yeah, more Kentucky Wildcats get to the NBA Final Four than the NCAA Final Four right now.
Yeah,
and that's been a critique of Calipari there locally, that he's more concerned with just getting guys to the NBA, right? Like, and that's why all these studs go there, because they're like, man, you go there, you'll end up in the NBA after. All right, let's talk about the other Kentucky football. They're getting points. We'll hit that and more SEC ready to kick off. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Hey, wait a second. What are you doing? You're not betting. You know he's not supposed to bet.
Come on, Jerry. It's a lock.
Kramer, you've had this thing under control for almost 3 years now. Don't start again.
But it's a lock.
No.
Sports Rage, late night, Friday night freak show. I'm Morenci. Let's do this thing. We're kicking it with Steve Merrill right now. Wager Talk TV in the house. Pro Sports Info. Tony Finn will join us later. Boston Celtics victorious tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning victorious tonight as they are one win away from a Stanley Cup championship. They'll be the first team to win a championship in these the bubbles and the hubs. I guess, you know, we should, you know, not the MLS is back tournament notwithstanding, but the championship is on the line tomorrow night for real. And I was thinking earlier, I was like, you know, Russian goalies don't win the Stanley Cup very often. And I was thinking, you know, I'm going to ask the guy, our man that joins us, because I know he's such a big hockey historian. And especially, I know no one knows Russian netminders like Steve Merrill does. So, Steve, only other Russian goalie to win the Stanley Cup. And I tell you, it's kind of tricky even. I'm actually bothered by the fact there's been two Russian goalies to win a Stanley Cup. I can think of one of them. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later on. But how would you do, Steve, if you were on like with the Schwab, Stump the Schwab? Remember that show in the old days? Stump the Schwab, like sports trivia? Are you good at that?
If it involves like baseball cards from 1985 to 1987, I can name every player on every team more so than I can ever do now as a full-time professional. And
really?
With hockey, late 80s, early 90s, as you know, diehard Capital fan throughout the late 90s. Basically, when they lost the Stanley Cup in 98, it started to dwindle after that. But from 2000 on, I basically, you know, disowned them for the last 20 years. And that's when all the Russians came in the league. So I wouldn't be good on naming Russian goaltenders. I got one better for you, though. First of all, I did tell some people, I barely follow the hockey. I haven't really watched much of it, but I told someone when the playoffs began I said, you know, I think Tampa Bay probably wins it this year because they've been so good in recent years and always come up short. You know, it makes sense they would win it in a bubble season, basically. So it kind of looks like that's what's going to happen. But I got one before I forget. I got one for Tony Finn here. If you want to get him, you know, our thing about getting Teddy worked up with the zigzag theory a few weeks ago, we didn't get to use that. I've got a trigger word for Tony Finn, though, that you can use. SDQL, Sports Database Query Language, you know, that like Ralph Michaels and Mark Lawrence use. Tony thinks it's a cult. Okay. So I want you to tell Tony Finn when you have him on that Steve Merrill bought him a 1-year subscription to the SDQL and just see
what
how excited he'll
SQL?
Get.
SQL? The SQL?
SD, Sports Database Query Language. SDQL.
Okay. SD.
Just say, don't even mention I said anything. It'll be better, Dick. Don't even mention that I said anything, Gabe. Just said, hey, I want to get your thoughts on the top of that SDQL. He'll know exactly I said something.
Okay, yeah.
It's just a running joke we have on NBA tip-off.
All right, I'll get him going.
Tony's pretty funny, as you know.
Yeah, I'm worried.
He'll
jump
going off that it's a cult.
I'll tell you one thing, though.
He might.
Yeah, he might. So you said you can.
It's all in fun. I mean, it's a
You said you can name players from baseball cards. I saw Darren Rovell. I've seen Darren Rovell, which is very impressive, actually. I saw Rovell open up a box of baseball cards from...
I watched that. I like it.
It was like a random year, dude. It was like 1981 or like 1979 or something like that. And he goes, All right, I got a box of old Tops here. He goes, we're going to cover the names. We're going to see, you know, we're going to see who I recognize. It's like, dude, man, guy knew every player, bro. And then sometimes it took him a second. He's like, Chris Spire, Expos.
Gabe,
right? And he'd be like, he'd move on. Like, it was impressive. It was impressive. Listen, I know a lot about baseball. I'm pretty good with sports history. I know almost everything, but I would stumble on years. Like if I was playing for money, like on a TV show, I'd be like, I don't know, 61. They'd be like, sorry, sir, 62. I'd be like, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'd screw the years up, but Rovell was freaking impressive in that video. Yeah, you saw that? One after another. Bam, bam. Like no-name scrubs, too.
Yeah. The one I saw, Gabe, was like 84, 85 Fleer. He opened a Fleer pack, which you'll appreciate. That's the Canadian company, I believe, right? That and Opeachy. Remember Opeachy? They were like the knockoff on Tops up in Canada. Yeah. Now, I was a baseball card guy in the early 80s, but
those Opeachy,
I'll tell you what,
those
though,
Opeachy hockey cards are worth a lot of money.
Correct. Yeah, Opeachy was great for hockey. And Bowman's, of course, before Tops. But I'll tell you what, I only got about 1 out of 3 that he was getting, and that was my hub, like 85. So I might have overspoken. It's been it's been 35 years, Gabe. I've got a pretty good memory, and I know you do too, but it starts to all drift together after a while. And like I can name Super Bowl scores from the 70s and 80s when I was growing up. I knew them all. I can hardly name the last 5 or 10 years because they all just run together, even though I do this every day for a living. It just kind of overwhelms each other.
Yeah, I often think about that, Steve, in which, like, when about the importance of championships and all that. It's like, the legacy of winning a championship and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude. I don't even remember who won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago. like you said, if you offered me $1,000 right now, I'd be like, oh, God. Like, was it? All right, St. Louis won last year. But, like, you know, like you said, Steve, I'd be better off. I could tell you, the Dodgers won the World Series in 81. You know what I mean? I can rattle off.
Over the Yankees. You know what I mean? I could tell you every one of the 80s. Yeah. And I can't tell you the last 10 years. Dead straight. Cannot do it.
Yeah, I know.
Right now. And I handicapped every one of those.
I said that once.
How about this, Gabe, real quick, though? When I was going to say, during the lockdown, when they were replaying all the old games back in April and May, and we had nothing to watch live, I was joking with people. And it's true. Like, half of those games I watched and remember watching, and I still didn't remember who won. And I could have bet on the game and honestly not known which side I was going to win. And I remember seeing the game like 15 years ago, like some of these college football games they were replaying. It was pretty fascinating.
I'm pretty, I don't have the photogenic memory, but pretty close when it comes to games and stuff like that as well. Like I'll remember where I was, like the whole, I can pretty much even tell you how much money I've had on games. You know, big bet, medium bet, large bet. Oh yeah, that was crazy. This was little, that didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I can remember like sort of everything. Sports has been a big guideline though for kind of the timeline of my life. I'm like, oh, yeah, I was living there during that Super Bowl. I was on that station then. Oh, yeah, I remember that. That was the Super Bowl I was on in Vegas with that, you know, network. And, you know, I sort of remember things like that. You know, the card business, everything comes back. But, you know, these Mike Trout cards, some of these cards are worth big money right now. But nevertheless, let's get into so, I don't know. You've been liking Boston in this series. So, you think this is going to go seven games? Before we get a Laker game, I want to get into some college football, too.
I've been on them in the first four games of the series. Did not use them tonight. So, I would have been 2-3. Instead, I'm just 1-3. So, I don't know. It's not like I've had a great feel. I don't think Boston's necessarily the better team. But, you look, they had double-digit leads at each of the first four games. And then tonight, they were trailing for the most of the first half. But they end up winning by double digits. So, they've had a double-digit lead in all five games. So it's not like they were a team that necessarily should have been down 3-1 and 3-2 now. The problem, though, Gabe, is that you're laying, like you said, 3.5 every game still. They've been, you know, they're still behind in the series. So I think it's priced pretty much accurate.
Steve Merrill with us. So, Steve, you know what amazes me is the fact that the Los Angeles Lakers are up 3-1 right now. And the Denver Nuggets are only plus 1,300 to win the series. To win the series. Like, you know, you're like, really? So you're telling me 13-1 odds that the Nuggets can win three straight times against the Los Angeles Lakers when the league doesn't even want the Nuggets to beat them? Well, yeah, you know exactly. What I mean? Like, really? Like, to me, it should be 25, 35, 50-1. Like, let's just be real. But I think they got a win in them. I think they got one more in them, Steve. I don't think they're going to come back and win the series. I don't think it's going to go seven. I think they're going to win the next game, though. I think they win the next game. And then they lose in six, and people evidently agree because it's down to 5 points right now.
Yeah, I'm having to redo my math as we speak because when I did the show this afternoon on Friday, it was six, and the true odds, the money line was minus 240, take back plus 200. Now it's minus 200, take back like plus 170. So their odds, Gabe, as a six-point dog, their odds of winning straight up was 31%. It's now 35%. Okay. So the odds of winning three straight games at 0.31% was 3% today. Now at 0.35, it's 4%. So it's gone from 3% to 4%. So that means the true odds have gone from 33-1 to 25-1. So yeah, 13-1 has no value. True odds are maybe 25 to 30-1. We'll say 30-1 because as you and I both know, if it gets to a game six or seven, the Lakers will be at least a 6-point favorite because everybody and their brother and sister knows the league does not want the Nuggets in the finals. And to be honest, the league obviously didn't want the Nuggets winning last night because the Lakers got every single call and they still couldn't cover. It landed right on six, which was the number. There were some 6.5s out there. So Denver actually got a cover in some spots. Teddy Covers, by the way, had a great stat on the NBA tip-off show. If you exclude the game one of the series so far, the Nuggets are 10-1 against the spread when they're getting 2.5 points or more in the playoffs. And they just continue to be overpriced. So I guess that's one of the reasons maybe the line dropped to five.
Yeah, and they cut these teams off, man. They do it. I've seen it a million times with the Toronto Raptors as well. What they'll do is they'll just call fouls early on players. So they'll put the player in foul trouble early. So they don't have to pull the carpet underneath anyone. There's not going to be some egregious, oh, this game is fixed play at the end. They'll just sort of screw one of the teams early. They'll be like, all right, we'll call Millsap. We'll give him a bunch of cheap fouls and Jokic, and then they're handcuffed, and then we'll let them play after. And you see this time and time again. It's frustrating. It's definitely the most annoying thing about the NBA. I mean, there's no coincidence. LeBron cries. The league, the Lakers complain to the league about LeBron, you know, not getting enough fouls called. LeBron and AD shoot 28 free throws. Two players more than combine the entire Denver Nuggets. Yet AD doesn't even rebound, doesn't even go into paint anymore, yet he's shooting free throws all night. Yeah, we know what time it is. Let's be real. All right, we'll hit some football on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Yeah, Mo, that team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Friday Night Freak Show. Sports Rage Late Night. I am Renzi. Shout out to SoCal and all over the West Coast, including the Pacific Northwest. In the late night hours, the Mightier 1090 repping San Diego style. Steve Merrill kicking it with us. So we'll keep it on the West Coast a little bit later on. Tony Finn will step up and in and join us. So listen, we could talk basketball all night, but I want to get in some football as well. So we got college football on tap, SEC football on tap here, Steve. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to these games. Very, very interesting. A lot of these SEC teams usually play cupcakes in the Citadel or what have you in the first game of the year. So they're opening up with conference play this year. And there's been a little bit of line movement. So I'll just throw these games at you. You can give me your quick takes on them. I'm going to start off here. We were talking about Kentucky basketball earlier, Kentucky football. So Kentucky, Kentucky, we're getting seven and a half. I see 6.5 right now at FanDuel. It's come down. And, you know, you look at Kentucky, Wilson is back under center right now, right? So they had the converted wide receiver who's in the NFL right now, goes to the quarterback position. They start lighting it up. And, you know, people sort of forget about this team, but it's been a couple of years, bro. This Kentucky football team has been a great just covering machine, a strong physical football team. You see Snell right now with the Steelers out of this program. They're actually producing NFL talent now on that campus, not just NBA talent, Steve. They got, I believe, 4 of their 5 offensive linemen are back. You got Wilson back. I don't know. Is Auburn's offense good enough to win by a touchdown here? I like the underdog in this game, Steve.
Yeah, I think the main reason the line's dropping is Kentucky's got 15 guys back, including 8 on offense, as you mentioned, a real veteran offensive unit. Auburn returns just 4 offense, 5 defense, so much more experience with Kentucky. You've got 2 coaches that have both been there now for their 8th season, so there's not a lot of change as far as the staffs go. So I think you're really handicapping the players. The question, though, becomes, you know, is Auburn that much of a better program where they just reload every year, even with new starters? As you said, Gabe, Kentucky looks like they're starting to catch up a little in this conference. This is a team that went 8-5 last year. They were 10-3 the year before, 9-3 against the spread last year. So what's incredible, Gabe, when they went 10-3 the year before, they went 6-6 against the number. Last year they go just 8-5, but they go 9-3 against the number. They have a better point spread record. So it tells me that they still remain maybe a little bit undervalued.
Let's talk about Louisville. Louisville hosted Miami last week. We cashed the over, but I was wrong. I thought Louisville could beat these guys. It was a revenge spot. Miami did the same freaking thing to them over again, Steve. But, you know, Miami are a good team. We'll get to Miami in a moment with them taking on FSU. But you got Louisville taking on Pitt right now. Pitt played Syracuse, and we cashed the ticket with Syracuse last week as an underdog. I don't know. Can Pitt keep up with Louisville? You know, the Louisville on the road. All these road games aren't quite as intimidating anymore under these COVID circumstances right now, Steve. What's your take? I think Louisville are the play here. Number came down. They were 3. It's 2.5 now. I think it's the right move. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, Tony Finn and I actually did a video for Wager Talk. We analyzed the Louisville game against Western Kentucky to start the season. So I dug pretty deep into that one. And, you know, it jumped out to me that they'd played the year before, but they both returned the same lineups. And Louisville got off to a nice win there, just like they'd done the year before. But they obviously took a huge step up in class last week against Miami of Florida, a team that, by the way, had smacked them the year before, put up over 50. So I was leaning towards the over as well, Gabe, because I just wasn't sure Louisville could slow down Miami of Florida. But now they take on a Pitt team, and Pitt is now the team taking a big step up in class after easy wins against Austin Peay and Syracuse. There are 3 touchdown favorites or more in both of those games. So we'll see if maybe Louisville's step up in class and loss last week actually prepares them for a better effort this week. Pittsburgh's got more impressive numbers, but they've done it against a much, much weaker schedule this season.
Let's keep it in the ACC right now. Georgia Tech upsets Florida State in week 1. They were getting double-digit points. They were down 10-0 at the half, but they come back. They win the football game. Last week, yeah, they were sort of hanging around a bit. I was on UCF. I was never really sweating it out. I watched the game. I think, listen, UCF's a damn good football team. But now So you get Georgia Tech going on the road, going up there to Western New York. It's a weird scheduling spot, not easy. I mean, you're in Florida, then you're at home. Now you're going up there to New York. Syracuse's offense has been a gong show. It's been a disaster. DeVito might as well be Danny DeVito back there. Kid's been terrible. He might be done. Their patience is running thin. But that being stated, the Cuse's defense has been pretty competitive. They keep on covering. I mean, they've been getting covers. So now they're getting 7.5. I mean, should Georgia Tech really be 7.5-point road favorites? I don't think so. I'm taking the Cuse plus the touchdown and a half a point here. Am I crazy? What do you think?
Well, and you mentioned, the offense is struggling. Both these teams are struggling offensively, and the total is 52.5, which is obviously a fairly low total for college football, but not for Georgia Tech averaging 18.5 points a game. Syracuse has averaged 8 points in their first two games. Here's the thing about Georgia Tech, though. We know they're switching systems. They did that last year. It was a train wreck early on. Even later in the season, they kind of started alternating wins and losses against the spread. They got that upset win of Florida State. I think in hindsight, we're going to look back and realize that wasn't that impressive as a 13-point dog. Florida State didn't deserve to be that big of a favorite, especially with the new coaching staff and not much preparation. Georgia Tech was outclassed, as you said, last week against Central Florida. I mean, so they can obviously beat up on Syracuse here, but it does look like a hefty number. I will say this about Georgia Tech. They had 5 turnovers last week. They did have 227 rushing yards, 244 passing yards. So their offense actually played extremely well and very balanced. So if they're starting to click, maybe they could be a play-on team here in the near future.
Steve Merrill kicking it with us. Steve, Cincinnati and Army. Interesting football game. Army's offense has been lighting it up, but this is a step up in class for them as well right now. How do you think Cincinnati's going to match up against this Army ground attack? And we talked about the total a little bit last night with Teddy about this game at 45. One of our listeners, Julio in Chicago, brought up that he thinks the number is low. And I agree with him, actually. I know Army, they can milk the clock. But at the same point in time, they're also putting the ball in the end zone. And Cincinnati are going to score on Army. What do you make of this game? What do you make of the point spread and the total here?
I mean, the biggest key when you're facing these triple option teams is having extra prep time. And Cincinnati played Austin Peay last week, so they don't have any extra time, even though it's only their second game. Army, meanwhile, playing their third game. Army's actually the team with a bye week. So you can almost make an argument that the scheduling situation favors Army here coming off a bye. They've thrown a total of 9 passes in both games combined this year, Gabe. 4 passes and 5 passes in each game. Now they're a double-digit underdog, which means they're going to probably be behind in this game early on at some point. And going to have to throw the ball more. So it's a totally different situation here. Their only hope is to keep the ball moving on the ground, shorten the game. That would obviously favor the under, but 45, not much value there, especially considering that these two teams have scored 42, 37 Army and Cincinnati 55 in their 3 games this season.
That's what I'm saying. Like, are you really going to suddenly shut Cincinnati completely down? Cincinnati's got a good offense. Yeah, it's a reason for a college football game. Which weather's not going to be a factor. I've got to pull the trigger on the over. Arkansas, Steve. Arkansas. Now, listen, this sentence never ends well when you say I like the Arkansas Razorback football team this week plus the points. But let me throw it at you here. So what's the Georgia quarterback situation here? They lost Newman. JT Daniels got hurt. Now they're laying 27.5 points in the first game of the year. The new coach of Arkansas comes from Georgia. He's Kirby Smart's buddy. And I'm a big fan of I'm a big fan of that angle, Steve, of the coach not running the score up on his buddy. You like that angle? And listen, Felipe Franks is the new, Florida quarterback transfer. He's the new quarterback of Arkansas right now. Arkansas has been a disaster and a train wreck. I get it. But they do have good players. It's been a train wreck. And they've had horrible quarterback play. I can't believe how bad they become. But can Georgia, I guess Georgia can name their score. But is Georgia really? I mean, Georgia lost a lot of players to the NFL. They got a lot of, they've got a lot of issues, the Bulldogs. Laying 27.5, Steve's a lot of points. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's mostly 28 now. It opened as low as 24. There's a few 27 and a halves left, but the majority of the books now have 28 across the board. So you're talking about a very key number, obviously. So I think you could say maybe now at 28 or more, 28 and a half, you know, tomorrow when they kick off mid-afternoon, I guess you could start making a case for Arkansas at that point. I like the not running up the score angle. And, you know, I mean, there's two ways to look at these teams having no preseason, no games yet. Maybe that favors the underdog to keep it closer. But then again, you could say the class edge, even with backups in there, probably still goes to Georgia. Maybe they can't help but win by more than four touchdowns.
Yeah, that's exactly. Even if they don't want to, and, you know, it is what it is, they win by 35 or so. But it's not as though that if this is a peaking Georgia team. I think they'll just be happy to get out with a win. And I look at Alabama in a similar situation, actually. All right, I look at Alabama in a similar situation here. And you're right. FanDuel has it up to 28 and a half, actually, Georgia, right now. Some movement. And so is Alabama. So is Alabama. 28 and a half point favorites right now against Missouri. And Nick Saban's not a good covering coach with these massive numbers like this. He, you know what I mean? Like, he's not as mean as he used to be. He used to be more mean-spirited. He's not. And he picks his spots. He's very about, like, the big picture, Nick Saban, now, right? You know, it's like he's trying to win a Super Bowl. Like, he looks at the big picture. And I remember even once they had a game, like, 2 years ago. They were, like, 24-point favorites or something. I don't know. They won by 14, or it was sloppy by their standards. And they said after, they said, Coach, you know, you don't really seem all that mad. And you know, they said, are you happy? And I like what he said. He goes, guys. Said it's he goes, college football, there's a lot of practices. So he goes, every week is the biggest game of the year all the time. And he goes, if I treated every week, he goes, if I laid into them every week, every day, I'd lose these guys fast. So people think Nick Saban's his big hard ass, but even he, Steve, you know what I mean? He's not crazy every day, every week on these guys, right? Like, he lets them have a little bit of fun. They got Texas A&M coming up next. I think Missouri can hang around in this spot, Steve. Here's another one. I don't know. Maybe I'm going to be nuts, and I'm going to temper my units here. I'm not going to go crazy because I'm betting against Georgia and Alabama, but I think Missouri can hang around here. And when I say hang around, I mean lose by 23, not 29.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Alabama, had this been a normal season, they were going to. I was really looking for them to be a play-on team, you know, just come out and smash teams whenever they could. Saban, I believe, has never gone 3 years without a title since he's been in Alabama in over a decade, and this would be the third year. So I feel like they're going to definitely play with a chip on their shoulder after missing the playoffs last year. But now it's a totally different world. So who knows if that'll apply or not. Missouri had up to 12 guys that maybe weren't going to play for COVID reasons, either being affected or being around people that had it. But now I think they got five of them back. So they're a little less shorthanded, but this is one of those games you're just hoping Missouri stays within the number. I don't see any chance they could win it.
Yeah, you know, I think the COVID stuff was a little over. That was a while ago, and there's not a ton of impact guys. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, yeah, they're missing this guy and that guy and that guy and this guy. As you stated, they've got some guys back. I think Alabama are going to win, but not by 29. You know, maybe by 28, by 27, by 26. All right, we'll wrap up with Steve Merrill on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. The Friday Night Pre-Show, I am Morenci. We're throwing it down with Steve Merrill. Pro Sports Info in the house. Wager Talk kicking it with us. So, Steve, we've only got a couple of minutes left here. Want to ask you to give us an NFL game that you like. But before we do that, I wanted to ask you about the LSU Mississippi State game. And, you know, two programs that are rebuilding. Well, let's say one's rebuilding, one's reloading. And, of course, LSU is the reloader, and Mississippi State is the rebuilder. Yet, it's a lot of points, man, for a football team to be laying. We're going to see. I'm liking a lot of underdogs tomorrow in the SEC. But for a team to be laying this many points when you have as many new starters as you do on the field and you lost as much NFL talent as you did, and not just the NFL talent, but you've got kids opt out on top of that as well. Now you're laying 16.5 points. The only downside to this is Mike Leach. It's a complicated system that he runs, and it's his first game, and there's limited practice for Mississippi State as well. What's your take on that in this number?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not using this game on Saturday, but we might very well look back tomorrow night and be like, boy, how did we pass up the opportunity to take the defending national champs at less than 3 touchdowns against a team implementing a brand new system with weaker players? You know, it's just a question of how much LSU is going to be weaker this year. And are they at that level where they just reload, as you said? You know, there's 5 or 6 teams in the country, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, that just reload. You know, even when they have all new starters, there's no drop-off because they're all NFL caliber. I don't know if LSU is quite at that level because they really made a big impression last year compared to where they've been, but I think they're probably pretty close. And like you said, Mississippi State would have been a huge play against team for me, Gabe, against anybody else with Mike Leach trying to bring in a brand new system in his first year with limited practice time this summer.
All right, Steve, we got about 20 seconds. NFL, what do you like this week?
Tough card here. I was take a look maybe at the under 46 in the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, Cincinnati Bengal game. Both offenses are struggling, feet up O-line.
Steve Merrill steps up and in. Always a pleasure. Sports Rage Late Night continues. Bring it.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.